What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and so happy to have you here today. We're going to be talking about justice, going to be talking about how to use art, particularly to bring about peace and justice. And I've got two wonderful guests with me, two ladies, Lisa Parsons and Kira Corser, and we'll bring them on in just a few minutes. But as you know, I open the show with a quote, and we have a Peace Brain meditation at the end. So please stay tuned for that. That will be a wonderful meditation at the end. So today, I've chosen a quote from Zig Ziglar, and this is a very short quote, but it really means a lot. And he says, "Go as far as you can see. When you get there, you'll see farther." And I like this because it really emphasizes and highlights that life is a journey and that we may see something, we may have a goal and aim for it and go for it, and that's fantastic. And we get to that goal and celebrate. You know, I'm not saying stop, but we will see farther. That you celebrate that goal, you go to that goal, and you say, "Wow, look, there's more possibilities. There's more things that can be done. There's tangential opportunities that maybe I didn't even think about or I didn't see at the beginning." So there's a lot of opportunities to go to your goal and go as far as you can see, and then there'll be more, which is fantastic. Doesn't mean you're not done. Doesn't mean you didn't accomplish something. And that's why I say celebrate, because you did accomplish. You did go to that point, and there's more out there. And I think that covers really, that's appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about how to bring in peace and justice into the world, and you know, the little steps, the big steps, the big dreams of how do we accomplish that. And really, we all have big dreams of how that might happen, and particularly the two women that I'm bringing on the show today certainly do. And then you come down to those practical steps of how do we get to that goal? How do we go to as far as we can see and make those steps happen and achieve what we can achieve? But then there's even more that can happen on top of that. So I want to introduce my two guests and read you a little bit about them. It's Kira Corser and Lisa Parsons, and they've both been working, co-coordinating with 1 Billion Rising for Justice Atlanta. They also are working with making these wonderful 8-foot posts that are painted with quotes for peace and justice, and they use arts as a bridge to really bridge that local, national, and international discussion on human rights and social justice issues. And this is what's really important about what they're doing. They've been working on these projects not only through 1 Billion Rising, but through their website, postsforpeaceandjustice.org. And you can find out more about the workshops that they do. They've worked with the Carter Center, for example, with President Carter, and over 100 international human rights defenders. They've worked with the National Center for the Civil and Human for Civil and Human Rights with 400 participants. They've been doing all these amazing work in California with Compassionate California's Youth Summit and working with Compassionate Cops, youth and community leaders. They're partnering with Compassionate Capital Region, Wounded Veterans, schools and universities. And they're really bringing in this inclusiveness. How can our communities come together to really talk about these issues and then use art as a bridge? So if you go to posts for peace and justice, and just write all that out, postforpeaceandjustice.org, you can find out more about their work. And also, you can go to Kira's website, kiracorser.com, and that's KiraCorser.com. Welcome, Kira. Welcome, Lisa, to the Peace Brain Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
Wonderful to have you here. So let's talk about art as a bridge to really bringing the community together into talking about these social justice issues. Why don't you go first, Lisa?
Well, I think in looking at how to approach a problem, I started when, for Post for Peace and Justice got started, when we were working for One Billion Rising and looking at how to end violence against women and girls, and I was looking for a particular kind of art that could exemplify and portray an impact to people looking at it that would want them to take action on the issue. And I had been kind of investigating lots of different times when I met Kira, who was making these posts that generally are at the front of a ranch or an entrance way. They're 8 foot tall and 5 inches wide, and she was making beautiful garden posts with them. And it turned out she was also doing a lot of social justice work, but not using those yet. And then we talked about that possibility, and both of us just fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way. And I know, for example, here in Atlanta, you've had, up to 24 posts, I think, on the Beltline, which is a greenway around
26 at one time.
26, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, around mm-hmm. this greenway Beltline around the city. And so people, whether they're walking, hiking, biking, just enjoying the space, they get to see these posts. So describe a little bit more about these posts.
Well, the posts are things that we do generally as community engagement where several people are on a team working on a particular post. And they look at the issue, they talk about it from their different perspectives, and then they decide among themselves what are the most important quotes, the most important images, the things that could have the most impact on other people to, again, drive them to a point where they are emotionally affected enough by it that then they want to take action themselves in doing something about the particular issue.
So, Kira, give us an example of a topics, because I know that each post has a specific topic about it. How do you guys come up with the topics, and what are some examples of those?
You know, your analogy of art and our work being a bridge is really great, because I think of the post for peace and justice as a tool. And so if you think of a bridge, all these posts are kind of like parts of that bridge, and they hook together. They together they're stronger. And so what happens is someone will come to us. Like, we've had posts on veterans' rights. Right now, one example I can give you is in Los Angeles. We are bringing in Compassionate Cops and the ACLU with Black and Brown youth to talk about Know Your Rights. And so. So the youth have questions, and some of them have never talked to a police officer before. So just, Lisa has really taught me a lot of this, too, because I've been a social action artist for 40 years, but my work primarily was individual, and when I worked collaboratively, it was with smaller groups. This is amazing, because all my work, I've never seen a project that had the impact that this one does. So you bring together the youth, and they get to talk to a police officer, and that police officer is asked to sit down and be on the same equality as these youth that are intimidated. They're both intimidated in a way. So it's breaking down barriers. And then the post becomes a visual conversation that then they can take that, and it'll sustain that information about what you should do if you're stopped by ICE or by the police. And also, it's inspiring because they have quotes on the top and on the post that are really about compassion, about working toward a solution that is positive. And so it shifts a lot of sometimes anger in the room, sometimes despair. I'm working right now with immigration DACA students in San Diego and with refugee families in San Diego. And so, again, that the posts are kind of a beacon. In some ways, the term post for peace and justice, sorry about it, the post for peace and justice is a beacon. It's a signpost. As Lisa used to say, it's a stake in the ground. You know, we're staking this claim for justice and peace.
Wow. So, for example, the post you just talked about with the Compassionate Cops and the Black and Brown youth coming together, that's, they made one on Know Your Rights. Did they make several others, or was that the main one they were working on together?
They've made seven.
Okay.
Of those posts. And actually, they're, Friday, they're going to be in a big march in Santa Monica on the stage, where the youth are marching against the violence.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What happens to these posts?
So several of them have been in the marches, which has been great timing. We have two that are Why I March, and we chose to do that as a constitution because we think all Americans understand that, you know, the Constitution should be the underlying direction, directional guiding post for how we operate in the United States. And so the Why I March post took the preamble and then looked at the things that we felt like really weren't in line right now, possibly with some of the underlying qualities of the United States of America that we felt like were really important and kind of helping us be leaders in the world about human rights and justice and peace. And so it's been at several of the marches in Atlanta. And then we've done the Black Lives Matter. We have a Black Lives Matter post that's gone to some parades and marches. And we tend to also go to things, events. Like there was just, we had the, you know, 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. And so we had the King Center post there and the Black Lives Matter post there. We had, we've been at the Carter Center where we took several that have to do with human rights and the actions that the Carter Center's involved in around the world. So any place where the public can see or where discussions are going on around a certain issue, they help, they just kind of help emotionally support that cause. And like Kira said, I love to think of them as the stakes in the ground for what those issues represent.
That's excellent. So it sounds like a lot of these, in other words, you come together for this community to develop the art and actually make the posts, you know, decorate the posts, and then that goes on a traveling exhibit to these various activities, these various actions that are taken all over the United States, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like your voice. A lot of the people that participate in the workshops may feel like they don't have much of a voice in their local area, but it amplifies their voice. And some of them are made where we'll get groups together that want to talk about a specific issue because they all feel strongly about the same, you know, they kind of have a similar perspective of it. But other posts are done, we intentionally will invite people from different perspectives around an issue, like with what Kira and Compassionate California is doing right now. One of the visions that we had early on was, if we could get, like, with the cops versus the Black youth that are being killed, if we could have people that were victims of had family members that were victims, and then we had a group and a post being done from the cops' perspective about the safety of being out there and always being fearful of not coming home that night, have one of the perspective of the Black and Brown youth that feel like they are being targeted because of an unjustified fear that gets aroused over something they have no control over. You know, but all the different perspectives, the groups make a post first and then do deep listening as part of the peace building process so that each group hears everyone else's why the different quotes or different stories are on the post and why it's important to that group. and then have certain members from each of the different groups come together to make one single post with the voices of all of those in there, so that we understand that each issue has multiple perspectives and there are multiple voices that are shared that need to be considered on any of these issues.
Mm, that's beautiful. You explained it really well. So it sounds like, and I know because I've experienced a couple of these in Atlanta, that these workshops are at least, they're multi-days, correct? Can you go over kind of what the workshop is like? What if a community wanted to do a workshop, what would they need to block off as far as time and resources?
What we have to do is kind of tailor the workshops according to what whoever is wanting to do them is. The ideal one that we've planned, and Carrie, you can address this from your perspective too, obviously. But the ones in Atlanta, most of the time, we found that doing like a Friday evening, kind of getting the group together, kind of understanding what the posts are about, getting started and just talking about the discussion, and then having a Saturday and a Sunday workshop where you really get into the painting and the deeper group work. And then a lot of times we'll have a follow-up later on where we can do the deep listening around the posts and have them all describe it. And sometimes that's called a reveal, or we'll take it, you know, to a different event where everybody that was a participant can come and see and share it with their families and friends and that type of thing.
Mm, nice. Carrie, you want to add?
Well, I think Lisa's right. We do tailor it for whoever the group is. And sometimes, like the women veterans, wounded veterans, we met them when they started it, went over all of the parts of the post, the quotes that they wanted, the facts that they wanted, the imagery. We might suggest imagery and things like that. And then they completed it. And we have a lead artist on each post, at least one. And that person is a skilled artist that can pull the main imagery together and the composition and color, so that when you look at a post, it's much easier to understand what it's about. And also it brings the quality to a point where we can show it in more places. It's taken more seriously. And what's really interesting about that is then the younger people that work on it, it's intergenerational, and it's also cross-cultural. So we have posts that are in Spanish and English. We have posts with other languages. We have a post that we did after the bombing in Paris with people from 8 different countries. So each one really is individual, but the best experience that we found is what Lisa was saying, when it's 2 days workshop. And that's what we've done with the Youth Summit here. And we bring in leaders that are experts in certain areas, so that we will have, like, we might have Compassionate Cop, somebody from the ACLU, somebody from local church groups, somebody from areas that work with youth that are well-known, performers, football players, a lot of different voices come together, and that is part of why it's fun too, because the art kind of brings people together, but what happens is pretty magical, and I think that's what keeps us going.
So do you have to, like, rent an auditorium or something to do this in? what kind of space is needed?
we have... Actually, you know, we've been lucky because we're in Los Angeles. We just work with different people, and they put out the word, and we've had people volunteer there. Both the last two youth summits, we did them in big churches, and their staff actually recorded it, put plastic down, moved the tables, set up the stage, the lighting, everything was fabulous. And then the next day, we were in the basement of a Presbyterian church. You know, so it's sometimes at a school, sometimes at a university, sometimes in like at Lisa's, you know,
a community house or
community
recreational center. We've done them in lots of different spots and places.
So you just mentioned putting plastic down. It can get a little messy. You might describe that process.
Well, we now have, at least here in Atlanta, and I think, Carrie, you probably do too now, we have the large tarps, like painting tarps now. So we're pretty good at coverage of anything. So we've really done it in some places that might make people nervous that we get the paint on it, but we've done real well keeping that off. We mm-hmm. can control that pretty well by just a little education to the participants.
Right. And so tell us about the posts and how you paint it. These are vinyl posts? You just buy it at one of the, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot, or where do they come from?
Generally Lowe's or Home Depot.
You can buy them from either place, usually. But as Lisa's found out, not all Home Depots or Lowe's carry them because they're 8 foot tall and only certain places. I don't seem to have any trouble with California where I live because I live in a more rural area maybe. But and you're right, they're vinyl, so they have to be coated with a base coat that bonds to the acrylic paint that we use. So we use professional acrylic paint on the painting of it.
They generally have to be sanded, and we put acetone on. There's a kind of a little vinyl dust kind of stuff that's on them to begin with, and so we usually clean that off and then sand them down and then put the base coat on mm-hmm. before we get them to the workshops even.
Got it. And so the base coat can be a color, like a light blue or green or whatever mm-hmm. as your base for your art then to go on top. And then acrylic, obviously that's easy to clean up with water in the long run and paint with. And then you have words and decorations on it too?
We do. We have found, or at least in Atlanta, I don't know if it's the weather difference or what, but we've tried some different things with stones and fancy things to hook on, but over the weather, at least the ones that were outside on the belt line consistently in any kind of weather pattern, the external attachments didn't hold up very well where the paint did very, very well. So we tried some decoupaging things on them and that type of thing, but over time those have had to needed a lot more work than just the straight good quality acrylics.
Okay. Do you coat it at the end, like with a sealer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. So if a community had, well, let's talk about, I guess, some of the other topics, because I know that one of your passions, or two of your passions that you're doing with this, is for human rights, posts on human rights, and then also on the 17 Sustainable Development Goals that were developed by the United Nations for our world to achieve by 2030. So let's talk about one of those.
So just like you led this off with the thing about what you see, what you can see ahead, and you also have to know underlying everything else, what's making things work in a way that's really productive for everyone, what leads us to a place that we have peace, that we have justice, that families are happy and thriving. And so envisioning is a huge part of that. And so we want to make sure that, if you don't have any kind of vision that you're following, you're kind of standing there bewildered, not knowing which direction to take the next step in. But if you have a clear vision of where you're going, you can start formulating those first steps, then next steps, et cetera. And so, when we start the posts, we realize that underlying almost everything where there's injustice, there's something that has happened that's been a violation of one of the human rights. So we felt like it was important that, especially in this day and time, where in a lot of countries, including our own, sometimes the human rights of people, especially more vulnerable people, are not being recognized and respected in the way that it was that makes for the most peaceful, just society. So we wanted to get back to those basics and really make sure that people young people and older people as well really focus on those and understand that they are rights, and that if they are not followed, that that's when we see more violence in the communities and where we see more unhappiness and we see injustices that then lead to other problems. So we felt like that the human rights was just such a basic thing, and we're blessed in Atlanta to have both the King Center, the Carter Center, and the National Center for Civil and Human Rights here. So the idea was there's a beautiful walkway, bike path, et cetera, that meanders from the King Center to the Carter Center, and it's only about a mile long. So the thought was, if we did the workshops and got all of the human rights done, we would post them along that thing, which would also encourage people that were visiting one of those institutions to walk to the other one and get more people interested in really looking at how we formulate peace and justice.
I love it.
And then the UN ones, the whole thing about the development goals are to help everyone globally have a vision that we're all working together to manifest. And so, again, Kira and I both have understood in working with these how much more concrete and more. And I hate the word concrete in art because everything is actually flowing, but where you really can have a formulated vision that is much more likely to come to pass. Once you have this discussion among the group, it's like traveling the world where, you know, different voices, different cultures, different people inform something that makes it so much larger and more beautiful than it was when there's just one or two people. It just expands as you get all of these different voices and opinions in there. So,
absolutely.
We're hoping that you can get both that unique individual uniqueness that's so wonderful, as well as the respect for the whole and what we all share in common. And that's what the UN Development Goals, I think, really, really do. It will take us to a place where we can survive together.
Mm-hmm. So, Kira, how many have you done in this regard of these topics?
We have 10 done, and what's really great about that is while we're doing the making a post, the students or the participants, like for instance, three of the posts were done by refugee students, fourth and fifth graders in California, with their teachers. And their parents came in to do some work on it too. So these are mostly Middle Eastern. Actually, they're from 8 different countries. Turkey is included. Sudan is included. So they're, because it's part of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, it gives the kids who had this personal experience of fleeing war and being hungry, so they learned about the 17 goals, and they chose ending hunger, stopping poverty, and peace and justice. So they chose those three of the goals, and I think that Lisa, I think we worked on one that was on peace and justice in Atlanta too, right?
Right. We have
what a great
here.
Way to. To really train the school kids, particularly what these goals are, and then really make them applicable to their own lives.
Right, and the first one that we did was a summary that has all 17 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the purpose of it is to take it to the different schools, to the different workshops, to really give them a flavor. And then each school or each classroom, depending on where we're doing it or what would be dealing with one specific one.
Wow. So you two travel all over the country or wherever it is the desire to do this would be. I would assume they could be anywhere in the world doing these workshops to create these different posts.
Yeah. That is true. Although we feel like sometimes we're spending a lot of time discussing it, so we're trying to encourage other people to create art that has a social voice to it.
And so do you go into a community and do one of these posts and then say, okay, you know the technique, now you create many more? Has that happened somewhere?
Usually people, in my experience, it's been people find us and ask, request us. Like there's a group in Minnesota called Art to Save the World. And I have an old friend that's in Minneapolis who referred me to them. And we had a hour and a half conversation. And Lisa has attended through Zoom one of their meetings, too. And they're planning a big event trying to connect issues of social justice and artists, because a lot of artists care about what's happening in the world, but they really don't know how to get their work to reach the largest number of people. And also sometimes they don't know how to collaborate. And then activists sometimes forget that art is it's not an extra thing. It's actually core to having people have emotional connections to what they're doing. Yesterday, I taught with migrant education, and we had ages maybe 6 years old to 68 years old in the class. I had three workshops this weekend, and there were parents in the class that had been farm workers, and there were some that were administrators, men, that had never done art since they were a child. And
wow.
They sat down and created not a post, but it's similar to a post where they created a dream cube where it's the same thing, where they're envisioning a better world, and they're trying to focus their energies on that. And that's incredibly important right now. I mean, because what I see is beauty and compassion is not supported on our news channels, on most of the television program that I see. I mean, the movies, it's appalling to me how it's not treated and valued enough. And yet, love is supposed to be our core. Do you know that every single student that I had in every single workshop over this weekend, every single one of them, put love as part of their major vision or goals over their life. And yet we as a society do not put that first. We do not put compassion. We do not put love first.
That is a beautiful point to be made, absolutely. So I see that your posts, that these posts, and I know that's only a portion, as you just said, Kira, that the both of you do. You know, the post is a marker, is a wonderful bridge, but you do have all these other art forms that I know you both are involved in too, that we probably don't have time too much to discuss today, but that certainly these could be done in any school, any organization, any place in the world. It's so applicable and to what the core values of humans are.
Well, I think one thing that I've definitely learned from Kira is an amazing teacher, an amazing artist, has been wonderful to work with on this. And I think it's one of those things where you see people coming together and discussing something that is not often really discussed. There's things that are integral in our lives, things that really matter, but people don't get enough time to really sit down and talk about their views on them and their feelings about them and their experiences with them. And any form of art that comes out of those discussions can be really valuable. And I would encourage anybody that's listening that is interested in peace and justice or human potential or just creating a space where people can breathe again and people can feel relaxed and people can feel energized in the same way of, at the same time where you feel energized and moving towards something that we're doing cooperatively together. And that creative process of art and what comes out of that process is absolutely amazing. And it's been so much fun watching both kids and adults who do not claim to be artists at all, come up with absolutely beautiful, unique, emotionally powerful images that touch so many other hearts. And it just, I just hope it takes off as something that this next generation really cherishes and uses to help keep us on track.
Absolutely. And I'll put in a plug here for Tourism for Peace, which is my company, of course, and what we're wanting to do or beginning to do with zoos and aquariums, and certainly with anyone who's interested, is to create these places of peace, these peace parks, if you will, these outdoor spaces where art can be a focus, where dialogue is really can happen as to what peace looks like and what it can be in your community. So obviously these are synergistic programs that can work together. If anyone is wants to learn more about that, go to worldpeacetrails.com, because we're encouraging you to create these places where obviously these workshops for creating these art and having these dialogue can happen. So we were talking a little bit before the show actually about the Parliament of World Religions. Let's talk about that for a minute and how that maybe can spread the word, if you will, on these art projects for social and human, justice.
Well, so this is very recent. I don't even know if I've had a chance to tell Lisa more about it, but the Compassion. I'm on the Leadership Council for Compassionate California, and out of that have we've established partnerships. I was asked to be on it because of the work that Lisa and I do with Post for Peace and Justice, and I'm mentoring a young woman who's on that leadership council also, and she is a performer in Los Angeles, and we've formed another partnership, which is Compassionate Arts in Action. So in California we have that. This is all to say that Compassionate California and Compassionate Arts is part of the International Charter for Compassion, and they are very instrumental in the Parliament of Religions, and they asked us to do a proposal for a presentation. So that's what we're working on that now, and that's in Toronto. So we're also going to be part of California Vision 2020 in September. We're planning a meeting, Lisa and Diane, in Washington, D.C. for the UN Leadership Summit. So I guess we are kind of just going for our dream without waiting for funding to sustain it. We seem to be able to just do it and trust that there are a lot of good people that want to help, that want to make a difference in the world. I mean, having a purpose is one of the top things that the retired organizations say is needed and wanted by a lot of people who retire. Like, they want to feel. And maybe that's part of what drives Lisa and I, too. I don't know about her, but I think that we can see the difference. Like Lisa was saying, it is exciting to see how intergenerational and cross-cultural people come together and feel joyful, feel relaxed, and actually be able to have a conversation that very few in our country are able to have right now. That's pretty remarkable. I mean, to bring the police in with the ACLU and Black Lives Matter is a really hard thing for people to talk about together in one room. In fact, when we did the youth summit last year, the person that represented Black Lives Matter would not be on the stage. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of conversation, and they all worked on the post together.
Wow. Well, you bring up a point, is if someone wants their community to have that experience and does have those beginning contacts with those different organizations, the police, Black Lives Matter, ACLU, et cetera, in their own community, give you a call, get together, or certainly just doing a post for human rights for their school, how can someone, besides obviously going to your websites, postforpeaceandjustice.org, how can they book you? How can they get you to come? Or what's needed?
Both,
so they can email.
Our phone numbers and emails are on the website. So
if you send it to contact on the website, it gets to both of us. And so one of us may be tied up at the other one. We'll get it. So, yes. So that helps, and then we can get it to the right person. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. I mean,
so
these are big subjects. These are fabulous, but they also really come down to the grassroots of how can the community begin to have this intergenerational and multicultural dialogue for peace and justice. Excellent.
Right. And Gail, there's one other thing that's just come up, and Kira, I haven't even gotten to talk to you about it very much, but Elizabeth Osalami, who is Hosea Williams' daughter, who's done Feed the Hungry and has been instrumental in Atlanta in things to support homelessness and poverty in Atlanta, and they just are developing a new site just south of downtown Atlanta. And she was very interested in having some of the posts there and also doing some workshops that then would go out into different neighborhoods. So we're working on that as well. But it's one of those things where the things that are near and dear to Kira and my heart, and with anything where you've got more vulnerable people that are needing to get their voice out and expressed in art and in beautifying the neighborhoods, is something that we're always interested in doing.
So it sounds like, and I know this because of obviously the Beltline here in Atlanta, but that a community can come together and create a post or several posts, in other words, in the weekend, 7, 8, 10
sure.
posts, whatever it may be, and then some of them go traveling, and then some can actually stay in the community as a reminder of their voices, correct?
That's right. And like now, for instance, yeah.
Could I just say one more thing here? After that weekend, the posts are usually taken somewhere by lead artists who get to finish them, because even in a weekend, they really need to be detailed, and the letters sometimes need to be retraced and clear, made more clear and things like that. So I don't want people to
think
that
there's a lot of post work.
Yeah, there is a lot of post-workshop
work. Yes. But we try we keep the images. We try to keep the integrity of the original images and words and just get them in a manner that all fits together and so that the presentation is as impactful as possible.
And they're absolutely beautiful. I mean, I've always been so impressed with the way they turn out. And you're right, when you have a lead artist that's helping the community really put their vision on the post, but then just tidying it up, if you will, so it really has this an absolutely gorgeous perspective and looking at them. And they're all different and they're all unique and just so impactful. So congratulations. I know that was a very wise decision to have those professional artists, if you will, involved with the community, because it really does make everyone happier in the end, I think, because they look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So we're getting kind of toward the end of the show. What else would you like to say to our listeners, both of you, for the next few minutes?
Kira, you want to go first since...
One thing I would like to, I'd like to encourage people to contact us and help us with having the post be seen and maybe be published in ways that like you're doing, because we're really just two people doing 10 people's jobs sometimes, and you know how that is. And so we always need wonderful volunteers, and so that would be something, especially since we also work in health and healing areas, so that I think would be a good part of what we're doing.
Well, and to follow up with that, do you ever have like internships or people that could work with you for several months at a time to follow you from place to place and help with these workshops?
I actually have several people, and so does Lisa, that do that.
Great.
And it's great, and we really appreciate their
We've had over 104 posts created, and we have about, I'd say over 2,000 people have participated. And that's just in 3 years. So, and that's working, you know, as much as possible, and that doesn't include all the presentations and videos that we've done too. So if somebody wants to contact us and see more without going to the website first, they can see us on Facebook. They can find us on YouTube. We have maybe 15 or 20 videos on YouTube at least about the posts of Peace and Justice. And we are continuing.
Excellent. Good job. Lisa?
So, yeah, I just want to encourage everybody out there to utilize art and creativity and discussions and voicing opinions about things that matter in their lives and then putting it into something creative to kind of inspire others. I think if we all did that once in a while, we would beautify all communities and start a revolution of sort with love in the middle of that. I noticed today on the way to the airport, there was a place where they had painted the concrete wall that ran across the road in these beautiful colors, and it was a very serene type scene. And it was gorgeous, and I was just in such a peaceful mood as we drove by that part, and then all of a sudden it ran out, and there were just this dilapidated concrete wall with chips and not taken care of. And the feeling of where you are in a space can lead to peace or lead to violence. If you don't take care of your community in a way that feels like it's a safe place, you know, there are studies that have been done when there's more art in the area, when there's more where things look like they're taken care of, there's less violence. People just feel more at peace. So know that whether you are trying to make a difference nationally or locally or just in your own home, utilize art that brings about feelings of peace and serenity and also the recognition that justice is important in all of our lives.
Thank you. That's definitely, we've all felt that we go into a place that is beautiful and we feel uplifted. Our soul just soars. Whereas when it isn't, it feels almost hopeless sometimes. So absolutely, art is so important. And it sounds like the grassroots and coming together is really these next steps that we can all take to make that happen. And then work with our city councils and whomever else to incorporate it into these bigger projects or these larger opportunities, like, for example, the Beltline here in Atlanta or traveling to various places. So, well, thank you both for being on the Peace Brain Show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Kira. So again, everyone, you can find out more about Lisa Parsons and Kira Corser at postsforpeaceandjustice.org. And you can go to Kira's website, kiracorser.com. It's kiracorser.com. And so do please check that out and see what you can create in your community together. Talk with your neighbors, talk with your organizations, and come up with ways to create your own art and call on Kira and Lisa to help you have those workshops with your own communities. So take a breath, everyone. We're going to go into the Peace Brain Meditation. And I want you to just settle back in your chair. Really, if you choose, close your eyes, relax for a moment, and give yourself that grounding cord, that beautiful connection, energetic connection between your body and the earth. I always like to visualize a beam of light coming out of the base of my spine, going into the earth, into the iron crystal core of Mother Earth, bringing me into present time and into this moment with thoughts of just peace. So begin to think about what social justice, what issues, what human rights issues that you feel you want to bring into your community? What is working? What is not working? What may be one issue that you would like to champion, be of service and champion? And I'm not saying go out there and be a full-time activist, go out there and join the marches, but particularly what is something that means a lot to you? It could be refugees. It could be education for all. It could be upliftment of women and girls. It could be just, as was shared, know your rights with the law. What issues come to your mind? And so think of one that really you would like to champion, that you might like to investigate with others. What does this mean? How can we make a difference? How can I make a difference? And begin to see whom you might contact within your city, who you might have a conversation with, whether there's a school principal, whether there's a Boys and Girls Club, whether there's an elder at your church or your synagogue, whether there's a place that already does champion this issue that you could have a conversation with. Begin to think what is important about this issue and how you could use art. You could bring a few people together, and maybe a few would grow into many together, to do art around that issue. And what might that look like? I know that we were talking about these peace parks, and there usually is a marker at a peace park, either a garden or a statue or some kind of post, that marks the place as a place of peace. So how might you create your mark through art around this issue? And, you know, this is to be fun, too. So bring a smile to your face when you think about it. Start to think about, as I know many of these posts, if you choose to do a post for peace and justice around this issue, have handprints from the various participants who have drawn and created the art on it. So they have these beautiful handprints of the children, of the elders. And they have wonderful faces and eyes and smiles and quotes. What might be one of your favorite quotes that you have around this issue from a leader in the world that has championed this and had success? There are many things to learn and to bring together in this swirl of imagination and swirl of possibilities. So begin to think about that and feel happy. Yes, you can do something about this. You can create something beautiful. You can create an art piece that is also a piece of advocacy that brings awareness to everyone who views it. And, of course, that's what art is. It is simply a way, as we were saying, to open up the emotions, to open up the heart, to open up our eyes to the possibilities, to what needs fixing, if you will, and how we can change and make the world a better place. And we do that together by creating these beautiful spaces that are not only beautiful, but open for dialogue and open for diverse opinions and actually bring people and hearts together. So begin to think of the first step that you can create in your own community, in an organization near you, and how you might do that. And so that's my action challenge for you, is to open your eyes and now begin to perhaps have a dialogue with a friend or a colleague about this and think, what are our steps that we can take? What would be the first step? Besides, of course, calling Lisa and Kira to come do a workshop for you and with you. And that, of course, would be one of your steps if you choose. That could happen very easily and wonderfully. So give yourself permission to dream, to then take action and make it manifest. For we all can use art and awareness in our communities to bring us together for both peace and justice in the world. Thank you for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today. I really am very happy that you got to hear from Lisa Parsons and Kira Corser about Post for Peace and Justice and all the other wonderful advocacy work they're doing as well. So I challenge you then to activate your peace brain in this way and go forth and create something of beauty and wonder. And then get on our World Peace Trails map at worldpeacetrails.com. So thank you so much for tuning in. Many blessings. Namaste. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.